In the annals of business history, few figures loom as large as Alfred P. Sloan. Taking the helm of General Motors during the 1920s, he inherited what was essentially a chaotic collection of automotive companies lacking coherent structure or strategy. What happened next revolutionized not just an industry, but the very concept of the modern corporation. Imagine walking into a company where divisions operated as independent fiefdoms, financial controls were virtually non-existent, and product lines competed against each other more fiercely than against external competitors. This was the GM that Sloan encountered and transformed. The brilliance of Sloan's approach lay in his ability to balance seemingly contradictory forces. He pioneered decentralized management with coordinated control, allowing divisions operational independence while establishing central oversight of finances and strategy. This wasn't merely an organizational chart adjustment, it represented a fundamental rethinking of how large enterprises could function effectively. Before Sloan, conventional wisdom held that companies must choose between centralized control or divisional autonomy. His innovation was proving you could have both simultaneously, creating a framework that would eventually become the template for multinational corporations worldwide. The economic downturn of 1920 exposed critical weaknesses in GM's structure that would ultimately spark its reinvention. With plants idled, inventory bloated, and financial controls virtually non-existent, the company teetered on the brink of collapse. This crisis created the perfect conditions for radical change. Sometimes organizations need to feel the heat before they see the light. When Pierre DuPont reluctantly stepped in as president to navigate these turbulent waters, he assembled an executive committee that included Alfred Sloan. It was during this pivotal moment that Sloan's organization study emerged, a blueprint for corporate governance that would revolutionize business management. The study articulated a delicate balance, maintaining divisional independence while establishing central control over five key objectives. This wasn't merely about creating an organizational chart, it was about fundamentally rethinking how large enterprises could operate effectively. The copper-cooled engine project exemplified the challenges of managing innovation in large organizations. Charles Kettering's air-cooled design promised significant advantages, but the conflict between research visionaries and production pragmatists exposed organizational weaknesses. Despite the executive committee's support for Kettering, the project failed commercially, but yielded valuable organizational lessons. This failure drove positive change, highlighting the need for structured cooperation between research and production departments. It led to clearer responsibilities and improved coordination processes, demonstrating how analyzed failures can generate crucial insights. Sloan's financial control systems proved transformative for GM's success. Before 1920, divisions managed cash independently, and unchecked spending led to $209 million in inventory. The new system centralized cash management and required capital expenditures to meet four key principles: logical necessity, technical development, corporate interest alignment, and comparative value. By 1925, an innovative inventory control system linked production directly to 10-day sales data. These controls masterfully balanced divisional autonomy with central oversight. Divisions maintained operational freedom while following financial disciplines that served corporate goals, creating resilience that proved especially valuable during the Great Depression when GM could quickly adjust production to market conditions. The 1920s witnessed a profound transformation in the automotive market that GM recognized and shaped through four key elements: installment selling, used car trade-ins, closed bodies, and annual models. Before installment plans, cars were cash purchases limited to the wealthy. Financing democratized automobile ownership, dramatically expanding the market. GM's strategic foresight was evident in their quick pivot to closed body vehicles after Essex proved their viability in the low-price sector. Production of closed cars jumped from 40% to nearly 80% in just a few years. The introduction of Pontiac filled a crucial gap between Chevrolet and Oldsmobile, ensuring complete market coverage. While Ford insisted efficiency required uniformity, offering the Model T in any color so long as it's black, GM proved that production diversity was achievable through coordination. By aligning models across price classes, GM achieved economies of scale while offering variety. This car-for-every-person purpose approach helped GM overtake Ford's market leadership by prioritizing consumer preferences over manufacturing efficiency. The Great Depression severely tested GM's management philosophy, as plummeting revenue forced a rethinking of organizational structures. The company faced increasing tension between centralization and decentralization needs. Their solution was elegant: advisory groups that facilitated dialogue between general officers and divisions while preserving divisional autonomy. The creation of specialized policy groups for areas like engineering and distribution proved particularly effective. These groups consolidated expertise from across GM, influencing high-level decisions while maintaining clear separation between policy creation and administration. This balanced approach allowed GM to maintain coordinated strategy while preserving operational flexibility. Rather than destroying GM, the Depression sparked organizational innovations that strengthened the company's future. General Motors' success stemmed from its prowess as an engineering powerhouse. From developing the Hydromatic automatic transmission to pioneering tetraethyl lead as an anti-knock agent, GM consistently advanced automotive technology through innovation. The 1956 General Motors Technical Center exemplified this commitment. This 900-acre facility, designed by Eliel and Eero Saarinen, brought together 5,000 specialists across research, manufacturing, engineering, and styling departments, fostering collaboration through integrated design. GM also recognized that human capital was crucial to success. The company introduced progressive employee benefits and the innovative bonus plan linking executive compensation to performance. Their landmark 1948 UAW agreement, featuring cost of living adjustments and productivity sharing, achieved 17 years without national strikes, demonstrating how smart personnel policies could maintain labor peace. GM revolutionized the auto industry through its comprehensive product strategy that directly addressed market needs. The company created a ladder of success with distinct price segments, allowing customers to progress through GM brands as their wealth grew, while minimizing competition between divisions. This strategic approach emerged from the early 1920s financial crisis, when a special committee developed a framework to align product development across divisions while maintaining distinct brand identities. GM further expanded market reach through innovative consumer financing, including installment payments and trade-in systems. Combined with closed-body vehicles and annual model changes, these innovations transformed how consumers approached automobile ownership. Sloan's management principles at General Motors became a blueprint for modern corporate America, demonstrating how large organizations could effectively balance decentralization with coordinated control. His systematic approach to management, emphasizing product strategy, organizational structure, and financial controls, enabled GM to surpass Ford's operation, marking a historic shift from personality-driven to system-driven business leadership. His legacy endures through his recognition that adaptation is crucial for long-term success. Sloan's emphasis on market responsiveness and strategic foresight created a culture of continuous improvement. His core principles, balancing autonomy with coordination, aligning financial controls with strategy, and maintaining market awareness, continue to guide business leaders in today's complex, ever-changing environment.